This episode contains adult content. Listener discretion is advised. So it's not early, but it's, let's say it's been a couple of hours now. So it's like maybe, well, let's see. I don't want to really fast forward too far because I know you had talked about that. Maybe you, George and Jane wanted to visit Boston. So let's say, and again, because I don't know the logistics of everything. I just kind of looked up nowadays how it would work. So like a train ride from New York to Maine would be about 8 hours. So let's just because I don't want to do like too much research into it, I think we could just stay with the, it's going to take 8 hours to get to Maine, but you talked about stopping in Boston. So let's just say that's like, you know, like 6 hours in, something
so
like that. Maybe
I just Googled. So by car, it's 215 miles from New York, you know, some vague point in New York. Via I-90 East is just about 4 hours. So, you know, we could call it six, right? Like the train probably to make stops along the way, right? Because it's more or less like a local. So, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
And we left at like 7 or 8 in the morning or something like that. It was early.
Yep. Yeah, it was early for sure. Yep. So, you know, let's just say like you had lunch on the train. You know, there was a vendor or something there or whatever. So you're able to get like a sandwich or something and, you know, some peanuts or something like that, you know, I don't want to fast forward too far. So before you get to Boston, is there anything that you'd talk about? Is there anything that you'd want to, you know, grill her about? Would you talk about, you know, what you would do in Boston? Like, how would that shake out?
I think George would try to keep things light, right? Because this is going to be like a pretty heavy scenario that we're rolling into. So I think he would, you know, he would just be asking her about her music and, you know, what her plans are, like generally speaking, you know, where do you think the music is going to go? What's going on with is it Strom? Strom's the pitcher. For the Phillies. It's not Strong. What the fuck's the guy's name of the club?
Of course you asked me that and
I didn't bring up the Google Doc.
Yeah, I was like, I don't even think I have that.
Sturm. No. Sturm.
Sturm, that's right. That's right.
Or Stern. One or the other.
Stern. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think Stern is
you know,
I'm looking it up myself just because I'm curious too.
Yeah. You know, see offering her some kind of a contract, you know, like just in general stuff, you know, how do you think it's going to affect your relationship with your mother? Like, you know, just, I mean, I feel like, you know, unless she has some sort of like a key recollection that might be useful, you know, he might ask her like, you know, what do you remember? You know, how you feeling? You know, what's your best memory of, you know, like, you know, being with your dad before you left and like just trying to keep everything on a pretty even keel, be present in the moment and, you know, listening and engaged with her and the stuff that she's going through. So,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. So like she tells you that, and I think we might have referenced this before, but if we didn't, this is a reminder for me, but a thing out there for people that if it didn't happen, Herman Stern, the owner of the Glow, actually said that he knew somebody that worked in the record business that he would show his work to and or show her work to, and it was actually one of the songs of Evelyn's that she wrote for her that he ended up sending, and so, and it sounded like it was going to be something that was going to be a possibility because it sounded like that person was interested in it.
It does rub a little bit though, right? Because it's the song she wrote for Evie. So like, he's like, oh, yeah, exactly. That's great.
Yeah, exactly. It's just one of those weird things. Like you're always going to be tied to Evelyn regardless. You know, she, when you ask about her favorite memory, she reminds you again about the, about them having their, dinners. And, you know, every once in a while he'd have lobster and he'd be so excited. And like, they would have like, almost like a adult dinner, you know, and pour her the grape juice that look, you know, make it seem like she's having wine and treat her like a princess and stuff like that. And, she also like recollects, like he was always, when he was there, he was always present. Like he was always like asking her how she's doing. He'd always give her a hug, like, you know, and that's what makes it kind of hurt more, is that he was always present for her until he wasn't. So, you know, she's like, as you guys are kind of talking and trying to keep it light, she's like in this weird in between where she's really excited to see her father, but it could really go bad. She's really excited about her career, but you just never know, you know, that kind of thing. So like, there's a lot hanging on what she does with her life right now. And you can tell, like, it's not weighing her down enough to where it's going in the wrong direction, but it's definitely teetering on that where, you know, it feels like to you that if something were to go wrong, it could turn the tide. And it's not that she doesn't want that. It's not like she wants that to happen, obviously, but it's almost like she's expecting something bad to happen.
Mm-hmm. So I think if he picks up on that, then he's like, babe, you know, there's a lot of things. We got a lot of irons in the fire. You know, there's this whole thing with your dad and everything, and the, you know, your new career, you know, get you out of the coat room, you know, get you, you know, front on a stage, writing music and everything. Like, you just gotta, you know, you gotta put out those positive vibes, right? Like, you gotta send out some good energy, and then that comes back to you. You know, I mean, you know, we had a little bit of a, you know, a rough stretch. You know, the karma, you know, things are going to come back. It's going to be twice as good.
And she gives you kind of like a half-hearted smile. Like she really wants to believe you, but again, it still hasn't really sunk in for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actually, so I'll ask you this question because it just kind of came to me. Like, so you told Jane that the balances should tip in her direction in the right way. Do you believe that? Or is that just something you told her to make her feel better?
I mean, I think so, right? Like, it's sort of like all new agey and kind of like Zen coming from me, right? But like, obviously, yeah. George isn't like your typical 50s, you know, 1947 PI, right? Like, it's a little bit more touchy-feely than that.
Yeah.
So I think so, right? Like, I mean, after the experiences that he had in the war, like, I feel like maybe he's internalized some of that. And then, you know, the obviously the stuff with Evie and things like that. And then, like, finally, sort of, like, working through that brought him more into, like, a fuller relationship with Jane, obviously before almost getting murdered, but, like... I mean, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So in a weird twist of events, something that, you know, you think about it and you're like, well, you know, obviously I feel like, you know, we're headed in the right direction and stuff like that. It, you hear the crack of, thunder and lightning kind of shoots across the sky. And a heavy downpour starts to hit the train, and it seems like it's not as random as maybe most people would think that a storm like that would actually happen. And you guys kind of ride off, and you know, it depends. It depends what happens. Like, you know, some, you can, as you're looking around the train car, like some people are like soothed by it, just like people are soothed by, like, you know, rain when it's a rainy day and they're like just kind of hanging out and they're like, oh, it's a nice lazy day. Some people you can tell are exhausted, and they're just like, it kind of like puts them into a trance and then puts them to sleep. There are some people that like a scared dog, when the thunder cracks, it like scares them, and they like look in the direction and they look at the train and kind of like think like, are we safe, kind of thing, you know, that kind of thing. So it's like, it's this weird amalgamation of like, you know, where people are in their lives and what like a thunderstorm with rain, a heavy rain, means to them.
Mm-hmm. I think he looks down at his watch to see, you know, how close, like, because he would know how far they're going to be from, you know, we expect to be in Boston at 3 o'clock or whatever. So, turn to look at his watch, and then he, you know, kind of smiles at her and he says, well, I hope you packed an umbrella. It looks like we might get wet tonight.
And she kind of laughs and she's like, I wonder if they have like a, I'm trying to think like a, what's the word I'm thinking of? Like a
orange banana.
Like, I'm sorry. What?
Banana.
Yeah. Banana. like a place to like buy trinkety things like that at like a station.
I've been a train station forever. I feel like maybe they might have like an umbrella kiosk, like, you know, not just umbrellas, but like someone who's selling like that sort of bric-a-brac. Right. Cause they used to have like umbrella holders when you would go in, right? Like you could just say, or
just throw it in there.
So this is like a movie thing. I feel like I remember that from like something.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, for sure. You know, maybe they have like a magazine stand or something like that, but they also have like, you know, like umbrellas, gum, blah, 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 that kind of thing, you know?
Right.
So she's like, well, it's a good thing I packed a couple of dollars, I guess. Or actually, she wouldn't say that. It's a good thing I packed my money or whatever. Cause like, obviously, an umbrella back then is probably less than a couple of dollars or a dollar, maybe. I don't know exactly what
bucks,
it
was. But who knows?
Sure. Probably wasn't as expensive as these days, kind of thing.
Yeah. But that's all right. We won't let it dampen our evening, if you'll pardon the pun. We'll go out. We'll hit the town, and we'll see where tonight takes us.
And she like and for like an actual like good reaction, she like lights up, and she's like, Boston, Massachusetts. Now there's a place I've heard about but never been.
Where have I been there? I feel like probably not. Right.
Yeah.
He says, me neither. It's, the Revolutionary War. I think they got the Constitution up there, the boat, not the papers. Papers, the Constitution of New York. But yeah, all kinds of history and stuff up here.
She's like, oh, that'd be nice. I would like to see a lot. Oh, well, I would like to see, I'd like to take it all in.
Yeah, it's a good thing we've got tomorrow too. So, maybe it'll rain tonight and we'll have a beautiful day tomorrow.
Well, I guess let's hope so. So yeah, maybe. So you get into Boston. It's still raining pretty good. Just like we were kind of talking about, there's like a magazine stand. You know, you can get something to eat there. You can get some gum, get a magazine, get a paper. You know, obviously you're going to buy an umbrella or two just because, you know, it's raining pretty heavily.
I've got my hat and my overcoat, like my trench coat, but like, you know, like a men's long coat. But he'll stop, grab a pack of cigarettes, and buy an umbrella.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
You know, give it to her. So she's holding it. So like he might kind of mostly be under, but also like he's got his coat. So like I don't care so much, right? Like as long as she's under the umbrella.
Yeah, 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 for sure. And the guy behind the counter that's selling you the stuff or whatever, he's like, you two's from out of town?
Coming up from New York. Never been up before.
Oh, well, you know, from a Bostonian to another, it's good. Well, it's not to another Bostonian. Trying to think of like.
I know what you mean, guy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So he's just like, he kind of mixed up. He's like, yeah, just welcome, you know?
Hey, thanks. Recommendations on a good place to eat?
There's a few things. Like I would go to the zirconium, that's a good place to eat. Also, Phillips, that's also a good place to get a good steak, that kind of thing. He says, you know, if you're looking for natural history, some American history, he's a good visit old Paul Revere's house.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we might have to do that tomorrow then.
Yeah, yeah. And did you know that Pierce Hitchborn, his cousin right next to it too, so you can even check out his house too.
Oh, I never even heard him before.
Yeah, most people haven't, but you know what? There's a lot of history there, so if you go there, you'll be able to find out all about it.
Nice. I think, yeah, we appreciate that. I hope you have a good night.
Ah, you as well.
Thanks. You know, he grabs a bag and, you know, puts an arm around her and leads her out, you know, towards the door. I assume that, you know, they already had made reservations because they knew they were staying. And then if it's close enough, walk to the hotel. If not, you know, go out and, you know, flag a cab down to get to the hotel.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, it's actually a little bit of a drive. So you flag down a cabbie, you know, he big burly man, pretty nice or whatever. You know, he's like, where to?
Grand Hotel.
All right, you got it. You know, and you know, he starts to drive. The rain isn't as heavy now, but it's still, you know, coming down pretty good or whatever. The city
twinkling on the windshield.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And there, you know, it shines up the buildings a little bit. You know, it kind of brings Boston into a different light than you would see if it was sunny and stuff like that. It's nothing that's it doesn't put a damper on how it looks. You know,
mm-hmm.
The cabbie's got the radio on and listening to some music, and it actually cuts in. This just in. Don Gallagher was suspended. Oh, God. Trying to do these prep things, I always kind of screw it up. So let's try it. This just in. Don Gallagher was suspended indefinitely from the Boston Bruins for betting on the Bruins games. Gallagher's teammate, Billy Taylor, was also suspended indefinitely for also betting on the team. Coach Dick Clapper said that he had no prior knowledge of Gallagher and Taylor's sports betting and is disappointed that such young talent is wasted away on such a mistrustful mistake. Let's hope the Bruins can bounce back from this tragedy and can put on a good show for the rest of the season.
I don't know that he says anything to say. I guess he'd say, you know, so it's like offhandedly. I don't know, because I'm not from New York. I don't know what his favorite baseball team would be. I don't even know. I mean, I guess nominally, like, probably the Yankees, right? Be yeah. Like Babe Ruth era, right? So I think, you know, maybe he just says something like, give the Yankees maybe a leg up this year.
So you're going to talk to him about baseball, even though we were talking about hockey?
The Bruins. Bruins. I'm thinking Bruins. Baseball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it'd be the Rangers then. Yeah, yeah. All right. Just got to cut all that out. He says... I heard you say Bruins, but for whatever reason, I was thinking, but, you know, so many baseball scandals.
Okay. Yeah, 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 for sure.
So he goes, maybe I'll give the Rangers a leg up this season, huh?
And he kind of giggles, and he's like, yeah, well, I tell you, I'm not much of a hockey fan, but I heard a lot of those guys in that locker room, not really that good of people, so I'm not surprised that old Don Gallagher actually got caught there. His teammate, I was a little surprised about.
Yeah, you'd think you wouldn't want to, you know, bite the hand that feeds you, but I guess sometimes their eyes are bigger than their stomachs, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and this Gallagher, he was one of these prodigies. Like, he really, you know, coming up pretty quick from the age of 17. You know, they had said he was, you know, he could be the next. Well, just because I don't know how old. Gordie Howe. I don't know if he was back then. I don't remember. This story is actually real, by the way. I
assume so, yeah. Little flavor.
I've done a lot of nice little research for this. So yeah. So he's just like, yeah, it's a damn shame, you know. It's could be one of those kids that, you know, could have made it big, you know. Again, I know that money's a thing, but you know what? You do your job, you know, you do it right, the money will come.
Well, I don't know. He might be making his money driving a cab these days now, huh? And he laughs, you know, kind of like pats him on the shoulder. Nice, respectable, well-paying job, right?
And he kind of get like he smiles, but he kind of gives you that look like, are you ripping on me kind of thing? You know, are you kind of getting at me, you know? And he laughs a nice hearty laugh, you know. And he's like, yeah, if only.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you.
And you know, you look on his dashboard or whatever, and he doesn't have any hockey stuff, but he does have a pennant for the Boston Red Sox, and he has a pennant for the Boston Braves. Hmm. So Boston at that point had actually had two teams, a National League team and an American League. Something else I did not know about, but was nice to know during my research.
Is that, I'm going to story time. Does that have anything to do with the World War II of teams combining, recombining, things like that? Is that why they had two teams, or did they have two teams?
I think at first it was that, and then they ended up having their own teams. Hmm. And then the Boston Braves didn't actually last in Boston that long and ended up moving to Milwaukee to become the Milwaukee Braves. Hmm. So feels like the Braves have had their stories all around. We went from Boston to Milwaukee to Atlanta. So
okay.
Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. For those people that actually care about that guy.
I mean, I hate them because I'm a Phillies fan, but
I like George baseball, doesn't care. I like all of it. Yeah. 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 For sure.
We just make like idle small talk in the car on the way over.
For sure.
Jane
for
and sure. I. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. 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 For sure. Yeah, and you know, nothing too heavy, all kind of light talk or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you get to your hotel. The cabbie actually lets open the door for Jane, helps her out. He doesn't help you because he assumes that you'll be able to do it on your own. You know, as you both are kind of getting settled to each other to walk in the hotel, a young man runs hurriedly and kind of like runs in between you and kind of almost knocks you both to the ground, but just kind of spins you a little bit. And you hear an old lady off in the distance say, "Oops."
Oh, I think I tried to tackle him. nice. I think like when he hears the footsteps, like he absolutely kind of looks up, like I'm pulling the bag out of the car and she's kind of standing there with the umbrella, kind of like trying to hold it over or whatever. And he hears the footsteps and he tenses up, right? Just because the last time I was kind of like hunched over getting into a cab, like that didn't go very well.
Yep.
So, and then he sees the guy running and I think he just like stands up and doesn't bring fists up or anything, but like he kind of like preps himself. You know what I mean? Like he kind of stands up and kind of like looks. You know, like, what the fuck is this? Like, nobody knows we're in Boston. You know, like, he's just a little paranoid. Yeah, yeah. And then if the guy kind of, like, barrels into him, I think he might just, maybe he wouldn't have grabbed. In some combination of her yelling and then him bumping in, I think he, you know, like, hey, what are you doing? You know, grabs, you know, goes try to grab him.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So let's have it be a, geez. I mean, what do you have any skill that would come into play there?
I would argue for fighting, I guess.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You have fighting. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I mean, high.
Yeah, which is okay, but it's more than anything because we don't have like a grapple skill or anything like that. So,
right.
Why don't we just use that? So, yeah, I'll make it a little, it's not going to be super high. I'm going to have it be a little bit higher just because of the fact that you are kind of
should it be opposed, right? Because he doesn't want to be grabbed, right?
Yeah, that's true. So, but then again, he's not expecting you to grab him either.
I suppose, but right when he feels me grabbing him, wouldn't the first instinct to be to kind of like the first, shake it off?
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. I'm cool with that.
Okay,
let's do that. Yeah, let's have an opposed roll and see who wins this battle.
All right. So whatever you think his grace pool might be, and then if you. You know, like he obviously is not sat out. If you think he's got some sort of fighting or athletics,
I'm gonna say he probably has a fighting because he's probably one of those street youths that probably like does this kind of stuff every once in a while. So I'll give him a plus one, and then we'll just roll off and see who wins it.
Uh oh, nope. Okay, that's okay. Ooh. I got a I got a 7.
Jesus Christ.
I had a 1, a 2, and a 6.
So. Nice. Yeah. I only gave him a dice pool of 2. But with that plus 1, I only got a 1 and a 2, so that gives me a 3. So yeah, so that's definitely a yes and. So yeah, whatever you decide to do, go for it.
So he comes sort of barreling into us, and I'm like super paranoid, like he's getting closer and like Jane is there or whatever. So like he moves in front of her and, you know, just like instinctively just kind of grabs him. And then the woman starts yelling, oh, he stole my purse or whatever. So I don't know what the end, like, yes, he grabs him and he holds him, right? Because I don't know. I mean, I don't have anything, you know. I suck at this part.
Yes. No. Okay. So you're just gonna strong arm the kid and just be like, you know what, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, and I think he's just like, I think he says to Jane, run and tell him to call the police.
Okay. Yep. So she runs into the hotel to the front desk to call the police.
Yep.
And you see this lady, like, she's trying to run, but because she's you know, kind of old and frail, she's like, it's almost like a swift walk.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh my God. Thank you so much, sir.
Oh, yeah. No problem. Are you okay? He didn't hurt you at all, did he? And he's kind of like wrestling.
yeah, for sure. And the kid's like, let me go.
No, the only place you're going is downtown, kid. What is it? Does he look young?
He looks like he's like 17. He's got like slick back black hair. It's got like an old, like tattered leather jacket. It almost looks like it's too big for him. Like he took it from his dad or something like that. And jeans.
Why do you have to do that? he says, "You okay, ma'am? Are you all right? You wanna?" He took your purse.
Yeah, he's got my purse right there. Would you please? It's got all my money in it. I'm here for the night. I'm from out of town.
Oh, you sound like a local. And he like nods to the cabbie to like take the purse from him and, you know, give it back to her.
Yeah, for sure. So the cabbie or whatever is pretty big guy, and he just easily wrestles out of the kid's hand. The kid's like, "Hey, that's mine." And the cabbie's like, I don't care if it's the 50s or 40s or not or whatever. He's like, "Bullshit, it's yours, kid." And he like gives it to the old lady. And she's like, "Oh my God, thank you so much.
You want to press charges?"
And she like looks at him, looks at her purse, looks at him again, and then kind of like gets kind of a look on her face. And she's like, "You know what? I think this young man needs to be taught a lesson. Yes, I'm going to press charges."
Okay. And like, you know, he's just got him yoked up.
For sure. So like she starts to walk into the hotel because she's like, she's going to wait inside the hotel to wait for the cops so then she can tell her story or whatever. And she like takes her purse and like hits that kid hard on the shoulder. "Don't you know not to steal from old ladies?"
I think George just kind of cracks a grin, kind of like ducks his head to get hit with the purse.
For sure. I'm definitely going to pat myself on the back. I'm not good for accents, but I think my old lady is spot on.
Drunk Jane is really good too.
Oh, my drunk Jane. I'm really good at playing drunk characters. I don't know why. probably some of my old friends, I study too much. Mm-hmm. So the cops come, they take your information. They don't grill you on everything, but they're like, "Yeah, what happened here?" You give them all the information, you whatever. They talk to the old lady. She's like, "Yeah, he tried to steal from me, that little, you know, whatever. That little hoodlum." So they don't really like pry you too much for information. They like thank you for, you know, being a good citizen and doing, you know, basically citizen's arrest or whatever.
I mean, he gives, you know, like he says that he's a private eye and all, you know, when they ask for his information, he would just offer that necessarily.
Yeah, for sure. which I think is pretty awesome because I was going to reference that. Like, do you give them your card? Yeah, I'm a PI, you know, whatever. But I figured.
Yeah, when they ask for my info, he just hands them the card. You know, George Armstrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure.
I think when they take the kid and they put him in the car, I think he does say to the officer, like, you know, can't be going around stealing purses. The kid looks like he might be down on his luck. I don't know, you know, if this kid's got a place to stay. You know, he looks a little rough around the edges.
And he kind of, you know, looks at the kid, looks at you or whatever, and opens the door and he says, how old are you, kid? And the kid's like, wouldn't you like to know? And the
kid beats him to death.
Yeah. The cop looks at him and says, you're not doing yourself any favors. And he's like, he puts his head down. He's like, 17. And he's like, all right, that's all I need to know. And he shuts the door or whatever. And he looks at you and he's like, yeah, he's a minor. It's nothing that we'll just probably get a slap on the wrist. But we find out that he needs a place. We've got stuff in place for him.
All right. That's good. Sometimes people just need a hand up.
And he kind of looks at you and just kind of gives you a nod and then gets into his car and then drives off.
Yep. I think, you know, tips his hat. You know, the cabbie was still hanging around. He tips the cabbie. If he left in between, he would have, you know, paid the cabbie and all that stuff. And,
for sure.
Yeah. He goes in, meets up with Jane. Right. You know, he grabs all the bags, polices everything up, you know, goes into. I assume she probably already checked in, but it's 47, so maybe she's not allowed to check in. I don't know.
Yeah.
Stupid country.
Exactly. Yeah. Just because in my stories, regardless of what it is, I like everything to be equal. I will just say that she actually does check in for you guys or whatever. And she's just kind of sitting in a chair with the luggage, just kind of waiting, just kind of has one leg over the other and just kind of is bobbing the one leg. And she sees you walk in and she gives you kind of a wry smile. And she says, excitement just never seems to evade you, does it?
He just kind of like, what, me? He kind of like puts his arms up and kind of shrugs and, you know, gives her a lopsided grin. He says, I don't know. I guess I'm just lucky that way.
And she kind of laughs heartily at that. And she actually like holds the one side that you thought was kind of fully healed. And you may think that maybe in the kind of the scuffle of him kind of bullying between the two of you that she might have gotten clipped.
And I think he makes a quick step towards her and like, you know, puts an arm around her. Says, you okay? Is everything, you all right?
Yeah. She's like, yeah, it's okay. It's just, you know, this thing. And she kind of points to her rib. She's like, this thing just, not like it used to be. So I, you know, any kind of little something, it hurts a little bit.
And I think he pitches his voice a little bit lower and he says, I'm not going to lie. I was a little, I got a little scared. You know, my experience in cabs recently has not been fantastic. I just it threw me for a little bit of a loop.
And she kind of nods to you seriously or whatever. And she said, it's funny that you say that because when I heard the footsteps and they were heavy in the rain puddles or whatever, like I'm not gonna lie, I had a little bit of a flashback, and you know it kind of scared me too.
He nods and I think, you know, he pulls her in and gives her a hug, you know, kisses the top of her head, and he says, "Do you still want to go out, or do you want to?" Like he looks around the lobby. I'm sure they have like a restaurant or whatever. He says, "Do you want to stay in? Either way, it's up to you."
She kind of like, excuse me. She kind of looks around. She's like, I kind of like the cut of the jib of this place. I think it's kind of nice. You know, we do have, you know, most of the day tomorrow. So, and, you know, I was just talking to the lady at the front desk and she said that tomorrow is actually supposed to be clear skies. So I wonder if maybe we just do some sightseeing tomorrow.
Yeah. No, that sounds good. Let's head up to the room, get freshened up. We'll come back down and we'll eat.
All right. Yeah. So you do, you get all, acclimated, freshened up. Let's just say like she takes like something for the pain. You tell she's something's kind of bothering her or whatever. So she takes a little like an aspirin for the pain or whatever. And, you go downstairs to the restaurant in the hotel. It's a nice little place. They've got all kinds of food, most of it Italian. They also, if you want to get some like steak and limited seafood, you can get that as well.
Do they have lobster? Because he would order her lobster.
Funny that you mentioned that. So you ask the question. You're like, you know, is it, you know, I see you have shellfish here. Is there, you know, lobster on the menu or whatever? And he says, oh, you haven't heard the mainland. There's actually a lobster shortage. So unfortunately, unless you're on the coast, businesses like us, we're not really privy to a lot of lobster shipments, especially this place. It's just something that we don't know when we're going to get it. And when we do, it sells out quickly. And unfortunately, I don't have anything today for you. My apologies.
No, that's okay. Thanks for letting me know. Like, he grabs him like he away from the table, right? Because he was just going to order for her.
Yeah.
Right, to surprise her, not to like order for her, because she can't order. You get it.
Yeah, we get it.
So like he sits down and would just order what, you know, 1947, he probably orders a steak.
yeah.
Steak exactly. With a side of steak.
Yeah, exactly. Baked potato and steak. It's like, that's all I ever had. Yeah. So, you know, you have a nice dinner. They have like an in-house band. Nothing spectacular, but you can tell, like, Jane has her mind on her music, so she's like tapping away at the music that happens, and she like thinks of something, and she pulls something out of her purse, and it almost looks like the notepad you use when you're taking notes and stuff like that. And she kind of flips it up, and she's like you can tell she's like writing like musical notes on the paper. Mm. Like, she's like, oh, that, and then that, and then that, you know. And she's right. Just like, and she, you kind of see a sparkle in her eye, and she's like, oh, these just need words now.
Hey, you got a new tune?
She's like, boy, you never know when inspiration's gonna hit you.
No, that's good. I can't wait to hear it.
And she smiles and she kind of laughs or whatever, and she flips it over and puts it back in her purse or whatever, and she's like, well, no more business for tonight. We're out here to have fun. And the band kind of kicks it up a little bit, and they play kind of a big band kind of tune, and people get up and just kind of like start to like grab their partner, get on the dance floor, kind of do their thing or whatever. And she like sees what's happening and sees that the band is playing, and she kind of claps or whatever. And she smiles and kind of points at it. And she's like, boy, music, it's magical, isn't it?
And he stands and he holds out a hand to her. He says, you feeling up for it?
She kind of like pats herself a little bit, and she's like, ah, the heck with it. And she like takes your hand, and you lead her out to the dance floor.
And as we're walking out, he says, I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I don't treat all my clients like this. He gives her a wink.
Yeah. And she laughs or whatever. And she's like, oh man, you're usually the one that has trouble with the phrases. And now I'm having trouble with the response to that.
She gave me like a Mr. Armstrong, you know, blah, 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 something.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, So she does that. She looks at you and she goes, Mr. Armstrong, you're worth every penny. And she gives you a wink.
he goes to give her a twirl, and then, you know, like he pulls her back in slow, right? And expecting to like go into whatever, you know, fast dance, but he pulls her in and then like dances slow, right? Cause she is feeling a little whatever. So like everybody's, you know, swing dancing around us or whatever. Like, I think they're doing like more of a slower dance.
Yeah. So you do that. But then every once in a while, she kind of takes her foot and kind of taps it out and then taps it in. Like, it's like she's trying to still be with the beat of the fast, the swing dancing that everyone else is doing, but also staying in step with you. And the music kind of plays the night away.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.
That's a good spot to stop.
Cool. Yeah. I dig it. She can't help herself. The music's got her.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and it sucks too, because it's my character, and of course I love music, so I'm like, oh, let's do this, you know, that kind of thing. So
I mean, if she led into a more animated dance he would follow as best as he's able.
Yeah, for sure.
But right, like he wanted her to be able to feel a part of the music, but then not have to like be sore or get hurt or whatever, right? Like trying to ride that line of like, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want her to get even worse, and then tomorrow when you're supposed to be doing the fun things and exploring everything, then all of a sudden she's like, oh, I can do it for a little bit, but now I can't do it as much as I would want to because I am hurt.
Yeah, yeah. And I assume, you know, all this kind of takes her mind off of, you know, where we're going and what we're going to be doing.
For sure.
So
for
again, sure.
Which is funny because everything that happens still reminds everybody of what's happening, which I think is funny. Because I wanted to write in like something mechanical, something where you had like a conflict. I was like, ooh, old school kid is taking an old woman's purse. That'll be fun. And then I love how you ran into the whole like, oh, last time I got out of a cab, it did not end well. I'm like, shit, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, which isn't necessarily true. Like, I mean, he's been in tons of cabs since then. Like, it's been a while. But like, with that specific set of circumstances, right? Like, sort of being distracted and being with her. And, you know, I didn't hear him come up the last time. So, like, that's a little different. But again, like, just, yeah. You know, there is that little bit of a PTSD response of like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, exactly. If you've been through any kind of trauma, of course, anything that resembles that is going to, you know, trigger something.
And I think I feel like he's a little bit on edge.
Yeah.
Maybe not visibly so.
Yeah.
But like they hadn't been spending a lot of time together. So like everything about this is different.
Yeah.
Right. Just with them, you know, a different level in the relationship. And then, you know, going up to, you know, have her deal with her stuff going on with her dad and just being, you know, obviously being concerned for her anyway. On some level he's working too, right? Like, yes, we're going together, but like also I'm working, right? So like there's a couple of different layers that are happening.
Yeah.
That you know, kind of encompass everything that's going on. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I kind of dig it too because it all kind of fits in the noir theme too, because like in a noir theme thing, there's always something lurking. There's always something lurking. Like that's always the thing. Like that's what makes noir is like, obviously not everything is going to be all right. The story might end up all right, but there's always going to be that lurking thing that keeps the drama happening.
Yeah. The thing in the shadows, you know, only,
yes,
you know, maybe catch a glimpse of, or have a feeling of, or, you know, only the audience sees it, you know, get that, you know, strong bass note from the piano or whatever, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It's always looming in the background. It's just when it's going to surface, who knows?
No, I dig it. I'm excited to see how this all plays out. I'm a little disappointed that we're ending at season 6 because I like this story and these characters.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the time to do it too, right? Like,
yeah,
I guess we're kind of like post-morteming.
Yes.
A little bit early, but yeah, no, just you know, just knowing this is the last, you know, the last one's a little, you know, whatever.
Yeah. It's funny because I do the same thing too, because I'm writing this and, you know, I'm like, this is the easiest thing I've had to do as far as like role playing goes. Like even like playing a character, like I always seem to have problems like, oh, what am I gonna do with this character and blah blah blah, but like I know exactly what I want to happen in this game. And even when I have problems, I still find a way out of it, you know. Most of them are minute, but sometimes I'll have like, shit, what am I gonna do? Like, I'm not gonna lie, like I knew exactly how this season was going to end, but I didn't know the body of it. I just knew the beginning and end. And right. So I was like, I need to write a middle, because if I don't write a middle, I'm going to be mad. And then, you know, eventually it came to me because I was like, I know we're not going to get to that middle part for a bit, but I'm not going to procrastinate And then all of a sudden, like, shit, I got to write something. Like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So I know exactly where it needs to go. And then also I've had the same thing too. Like, it'd be nice to keep going, but I'm like, I don't know where to go from here. You know, like I could do a bunch of little stories again and keep going. But then, you know, it's like, then all of a sudden these characters are maturing so much that there's no, then all of a sudden I'm forcing them to do things that I don't need them to do.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's a lot more work on your end than it is on mine. I just show up and play, but like you have to design a mystery before we can do anything. Right.
Yeah.
Like you said, at least a beginning and an end. Right. So like, in the last season, like, okay, the mayor's crooked, the baseball was stolen, and that's the job, and we'll figure it out. Right. Like, I know you know, do more than that. You plan for more than that. And it's funny, I was listening to Miskatonic University podcast, and they're going through like a Call of Cthulhu 101. So like they're doing like a 6-episode arc. So like first one is like, what is Call of Cthulhu? And then the next one is how to be a good player. And then the one after that's how to be a good GM. And like, you can either just be a complete pantser, or you just like show up and you're like, there's a baseball stolen, go figure it out. Like, I know who the owner is and who your contact is or whatever. And like, just respond to things that are happening, because you really don't know how it's going to play out. Other than like this is the prime mover to the story. And then, you know, other people are like, nope, I've got to write, you know, I need all these NPCs, right? You may or may not use them, right? I guess, depending on how strict you want to sort of follow that, right? And you get into like railroading stuff or whatever. But like having the flexibility then to know that you can pivot in this direction, because you know this guy stole it, and you know this guy's an accomplice, and this is who they're trying to sell to. And if you can't find it in like X number of days, then like it gets moved to this thing because it's now in the hands of the buyer. You know what I mean? There's layers upon layers that you could plan for.
And
write for, and then whether or not you either try to shoehorn it in, and then like this is we have to tell the story this way, where it just gives you the ability to pivot and, you know, be flexible within the story, even if you kind of like, because you're like, when you're writing it, you're like, oh well, obviously you're gonna do this because this is what makes sense, and then players happen. It's like so it's just interesting from different, you know, perspective as far as how, you know, GMs approach the creative side of putting all that stuff process together.
For sure. I would say that between those two, I probably am 60 to the improv side and 40 to the written side, because like I want to have things that are there, and I want them to be, you know, somewhat concrete, but you can't have too much concrete, because if you do, your players aren't gonna go in a lot of the directions that you think they're going to go. There's going to be, like you said, there's going to be those areas that, oh, that makes sense, I'm going to do this. Okay, that's cool. But then there's going to be those things where you're like, oh, I definitely did not plan for that. So I have to make sure that I'm open to, you know, going in that, you know, different direction, that kind of thing. So,
well, I know you said that on multiple occasions, like, oh, okay, I didn't expect any of that. So I guess we'll see what happens next time.
yeah, exactly. And it's fine, because like, I think if I were a strictly, this is what's on the page, this is exactly what's happening, you would see it. This wouldn't happen. We wouldn't be playing like this, because the way we play, whether it's this or if we play fantasy role playing or whatever, like we do a lot of like story stuff, but we also like do a lot of on the cuff stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though I know you've said for certain, like, I'm not really good at making stuff up. You are, you just don't think you are.
Yeah.
But like a lot of the players that I have in this game and the fantasy game, like, you all are really good at like, okay, this is what my character would do, and now let's see where it goes. But also when it comes to, I think, multiple players, not just you playing by yourself, it leads to more like, oh, that person's doing that,
I'm going to go that way with them. And you're like, no, no, you don't do that. Like, but then, you know, I also think about it too. Like, I feel like in every game that I run that you guys plan, you're always true to your character. I don't ever see something where you're like, I'm going to do this. And I'm like, your character would never do that. Your characters always stay true to what they're going to do. So like, that makes it easier on me because I'm like, okay, you're going to do that. Well, now I know I can plan. That's why like noir for me is really easy to write because I know what George will do most of the time.
I'm so predictable. Again,
you'll throw curveballs on like where he's going to go. Like, oh, now I'm going to talk to this person. That to me, like, that doesn't really like throw me off because I'm like, yeah, obviously you do that because you're trying to be thorough and go in this. But, you know, I know George's like persona, you know, so like every once in a while I'll be like, I'll start writing something down. I go, what would George do? What would George do in this situation? And I'd start writing something down and then I'd be like, but I know he's going to do this now. And I, you know, I'll cross it out and I'll be like, oh, this will be good because this will cause him to do a certain thing, just like the whole this last session with him bumping into you. Like, I'm like, there's no way you're letting him go. Like, yeah. It doesn't matter what happens, you're not letting him get away. So I'm like, it's a dumb little thing, but it's a fun little like, hey, see what he does. Obviously, you're going to do what you're going to do.
It's a dumb little thing, but then triggers that tie through to the previous season. Right. And there's a little bit of work that's going to that. Cause like, it could have just been that I grab him and hold him and the woman comes, gets her purse. Or, you know, if it's a noir, I slap him in the face, get out of here, you know? So you have to like put the narrative work in to be like, oh, that makes me feel this because this and this, which then you've got a through line through, which again, then stays true to the character, but you have to recognize. And I'm saying that I'm, you know, God, putting in the narrative work to like blah 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 do the thing whatever, but there is some level of that consciously or unconsciously, and it's like you said, because we play the characters pretty straight, that you know what I mean, it's all in character. Like I'll flip back between me, like me as George, me, or I'll say George, you know, George wouldn't do that, or I don't know which baseball team I'm rooting for, right? Or hockey team, or right? So like it's easy for me to sort of flip back and forth. Like yesterday I was thinking about the game, where we were in the game, not necessarily what I want to accomplish, right? Because it's a collaborative narrative thing, right? Like, and especially with Core fosters that more so, or at least the way that we were taught Core and how we approach that, which then like translates to all of the other games that we play. I'm thinking about the game outside of the game, right? Yeah. Which then makes it easier on some level to play the character because you're fully invested, engaged with what's happening.
Yeah.
And it's fine like not to think about like 10 minutes before you're getting ready to start the game, you review your notes, you pull up your character sheet, you look at your skills or whatever, and then like you jump back in. For me, you know, it's more encompassing. It's not necessarily the right word, but like it's a living thing outside of us playing the game, right?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite things, and it happens in both of these games, is when I'm just doing something at work and all of a sudden I get a text from someone and it's like, What is this about my character? Or I was thinking about this about my character, or I was thinking about the world itself or this other character or whatever. What is this? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, like that's cool because you're not just thinking about it like at the moment. You're just like, oh, I got here, I got my notes, I'm playing. Like, you know, when you were a kid, you're like, here's my character sheet, here's my things. I did my thing. Now I'm going to go home and play with my toys or whatever. Cause I like, that's out of my mind. You know, when someone is like, what is happening here in this thing? I'm like, okay, you're invested. So that makes me happy. Cause that means that I'm doing my job right.
Yep. Yep. Well, that's, you know, an 80 page journal that I've written as George, you know what I mean? It just reinforces, and it's just, and it sucks because I stopped doing it and I wish I could force myself to get back into it. Because it really, like for me as a player, creates a whole other level of engagement with the character in really what the persona is, right? Like, view on, like, because it's written with a certain tone and a certain style and perspective that could only belong to that character. It's a really interesting thing to have done, because I haven't never done anything like that before.
Yeah.
To that level. Like, I'm a note taker. I've always got notes, but to like write as if he was like writing a journal is like a whole other thing. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a weird comparison or whatever, but it's like, you know, what people say about Daniel Day-Lewis. It's like, when he's doing a movie, he's that character all of the time. Mm-hmm. And again, we're not doing that. We're not like, you're not at work doing your job and going, I should give Jane a call. You know, you're not, but you're, but you're thinking about his character and you're invested in it. And you're actually putting the time into being like, this character means something to me, even to the fact where we're talking about the fact that this is going to end really sucks, because it's like,
yeah,
weird. Another weird comparison. It's like losing a best friend. It's like, ah, crap. You know, I've been with this person for a very long time now, and now I have to let them go, you know? Mm-hmm. And I can see where a lot of like TV shows that go for season after season after season after season, you know, so suddenly it gets canceled, or they say it's your last season, and you can tell everyone's like, no, I don't want to do that. You can't make me do that. Like, yeah, I can actually.
Well, and I think, I mean, at least, you know, for our collective group, is that we take it, you know, air quotes, like, you know, whatever. But seriously, right? Like, we don't play for the yucks. Not that we don't have fun, not that we don't laugh, or, you know, crack jokes or whatever, but like in character stuff is in character, like, and it should mean, so like, you know, if George pulled out his pistol and shot that kid dead on the street, which you might do in a, you know, D&D game, not with a pistol, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, then I would expect that you're like, yeah, the cops show up and you go to jail, dumbass. Like, I don't, how do we get out of this now? Like, you, I guess the next session is you going to court. I don't know. Like, you know, there needs to be there should be consequences. And again, it's because of the way that we play it, right? Like, if people don't want that and it's not fun, right? Like, you play beer and pretzels, that's great. Like, that's fun. There's nothing wrong with that kind of fun, but this is not how we approach gaming. Which is, it's weird, right? Because it's like, wow, the world sucks, and like, I have to go to work and like do all that shit, and then it's like, let's drill down into the deep psychological trauma of this fucking character that I play for 2 hours, you know, every other week or whatever. And it's like, but it's there's some catharsis in that.
It's weirdly therapeutic. Like, you know, again, I talked to John before this recording. I think I'm going to put this at the end of one of our sessions. But like, before we were talking, like, we're just talking about how sometimes life is just shitty. And that's how my life is going right now. Not with like my family. Like, I love my family and that's going great. But like, a lot of other things are going just fucking haywire. And I'm like, I get to this and we talk for, you know, an hour and a half before we even play. And, you know, we get it out and then we play this game. And it should be a thing where, like, I should have my mind on those other things. But this is a great escape from that. And I'm able to, you know, have this time with you and be able to create this story that I know, even if I don't know for the fact who's listening to this, I know it means something a lot. It means a lot to us playing it and making this world cohesive and like worthy thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's been fantastic. I mean, it's been a phenomenal game to be a part of, you know, between your setup and stories and, you know, everything makes sense. You know, that's why I get worried, you know, trying to, and I don't run very often, but like try to come up with something and I'm like, well, but it's got to make sense. Right. And it doesn't, I guess, you know, on some level doesn't, but like everything is logical and makes sense. Right. Like it's a living, breathing world that, you know, you just jump in and out of. Like, it's been really good.
Yeah. It's definitely been a blast. Hopefully hopefully everyone listening to this enjoys it, because I know I do.
Absolutely.